No matter where you are in your pursuit of following Jesus, one thing that we'll all face at some time in our life is rejection. And today I want to look at overcoming the fear of rejection in both our identity and our calling in today's episode.
This is the Simple Truth Podcast.
Today we'll be talking about the fear of rejection. Doesn't that topic get you excited?
Oh, no.
Something that does get me excited is, as you can probably guess, someone else is on the show with me today. Got my wife, Crystal, right next to me.
Hello.
Are you excited to talk about rejection?
Yes.
I hope so. I hope she wasn't going to reject me on a topic about
rejection.
When it comes to top fears, though, seriously, a lot of people are really afraid of rejection. For some, this is like number one. They rather die than being rejected. Or for some, it's a little bit lower on different lists. But I want to just talk a moment just about some personal ways that myself and Crystal also have been impacted by rejection. When I was in high school, I was at a camp, and I heard an amazing national speaker come who just had such a gift for sharing the gospel with young people. And afterwards, I was like, you know, I really feel like I want to do this with my life. I would love to share Jesus like this guy. And so I was really shy, but I got the courage to go up and talk to him after a certain session. We're next to a water cooler in a hallway. And that's when I'm like, hey, I'm like, I just so appreciate your ministry and what you're doing. I hope to one day be like you.
Wow.
And just a quick aside, now that I've been in ministry for a while, sometimes people can have hard days in ministry.
What?
Yes, yes, my wife knows.
Oh, yeah.
This was definitely, I think, one of his hard days, because his response was nothing that I anticipated, and actually it was probably everything that I would fear. His response was saying, hey, kid, there's no way you want to be doing what I'm doing. And that was like a sucker punch to the gut. And the next one was just, there's no way you could be doing what I'm doing. So essentially, you don't want to be doing this. And even if you did, you don't got the skills to do what I'm doing. Wow. I just felt so rejected I just still even can remember that conversation to this day. But how about you, Crystal? Have you ever been in places or a story of just like feeling that rejection and feeling that pain I think a lot of us can relate to?
Yeah, wow, thanks for sharing. That's crazy. I think for me, I've experienced rejection all throughout my life, but especially in my childhood, which is hard because that's your formative years and it can be really confusing. And I think for me, I'm half black and half white. My mom is black, my dad is white. And they got married in a time where that really wasn't common. It really wasn't socially quite acceptable yet. And therefore, me and my siblings kind of had to manage through that. And I think school was difficult for me because it was predominantly a white setting. And so I always felt like I didn't really belong. Like I felt like I wasn't white enough for the white people. I wasn't black enough for the black people. And I didn't really fit either stereotype. So I just didn't really feel like I could click into anywhere. And so I kind of found myself hanging out with Hispanics, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, because I'm brown, they're brown. And people always told me, oh, you know, you look Hispanic. So, you know, that kind of got me through school. But even that, you know, towards the end of my senior year, it kind of came out. One of my best friends was like, yeah, you look like us, but you're never going to be us. And you would never be a proper fit in our family, you know. And so that was really a blow, and that kind of continued throughout college as well. So I think for me, just racial rejection has been really difficult, and it just really left me feeling like, where do I belong? So
that's, thanks for sharing that. No, that's I can't imagine, it's incredibly hard being rejected for who you are. And who you are. I want to take for a moment just to talk about how that story of rejection, which I think we all can relate to rejection in different ways, even though our stories might be different, how it can impact us today. And I just want to share an example that was recent. And so I was sharing about how when I was younger, that speaker was just like, he was hitting on kind of like something I wanted to do. It wasn't hitting on like necessarily who I was as a person, as Crystal was mentioning, but on something I wanted to do. And I felt like God was calling me to. And so just a couple months ago, I got an invitation to speak at a camp near where I live. And to be honest, like, you would think if you know me, like, I have a real passion for Jared and Jesus and the gospel, this would be like something I really pray about with like enthusiasm. But my gut reaction was actually no. And the reason why is because there was a narrative, there was a story of a high schooler talking to this leader that was playing in my head that says, you're never going to be able to speak to students the way I can.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, kid, you don't never want to do it. And I just kept hearing that narrative over my head. I'm like, I want to go share the gospel. I want to go share this at a camp. This has been a passion since I've been young. And here I am feeling like immobilized. And I really had to go to prayer. I talked to Crystal about it. I really had to think it over and realize, actually, no, this is something God's calling me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized if I'm not careful, I can let past rejection impact the call of God on me today.
Wow.
And so I had to make an active choice to take that thought captive to Christ and really focus in on Jesus and who he wants me to be and who he's called me to be. How about you, Crystal? Have you noticed in your own life past rejection impacting you in today?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of times the narrative in my mind can get in the way of what's actually happening in reality, basically what you were just saying. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I'm interacting with people, you know, sometimes I can walk away and in my mind I'm like, this went terrible, you know, what I said was awful, I don't think they like me, you know. And then, you know, maybe you or someone else will say, actually, it didn't even really go that way. Mm. It's like you're looking at things through lenses of rejection, and that really wasn't reality. Sure, there are definitely times where I have been rejected, but more often than not, admittedly, it's usually a much more tainted perspective of what really actually happened. So
it's like seeing everything like broken lenses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It definitely distorts. Well, yeah, no, thank Crystal for sharing that. I want to take a moment just to look at how Jesus dealt with rejection, because I think there's some common practices we can apply of ignoring it or hiding from it or just maybe rejecting other people to help us feel better about the pain we've received. But what Jesus did was quite interesting. I was reading in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." Man, talk about like a self-prophecy I think none of us would want to take up anytime soon. Essentially, Jesus is knowing ahead of time that he's going to have to suffer. And there's that word that we want to run away from, but it's there. It's real. It's life. But be rejected by essentially all the key speakers, all the key leaders, the religious leaders are going to reject him. And he's going to go to the cross and he's going to die on behalf of those who have rejected him bring redemption to them. And like that's what Jesus did. And so instead of hiding from rejecting or trying to avoid it, he went right through it. He knew his calling and he knew his identity, and he went forward looking at the cross. And when we lose sight of the cross and really the big eternal picture of redemption or what Jesus is doing, if we focus our eyes only on us, we can become so paranoid and self-absorbed in our minds that we forget what the mind of Christ has for us, which is actually a calling that's greater than our rejection, an identity that is not based on people's approval.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something I just want us to think about today. Has there been a recent, maybe for you, a recent time where you've been rejected, or possibly when you were younger, and you realize that narrative keeps influencing you today greater than the voice of God? If so, I encourage you, bring that to the cross, bring that to the foot of the cross, bring that to Jesus. Ask God for healing, ask God for forgiveness if that's been a place of a stumbling block that you're holding on to. Who you are in Christ is greater than your past, and your future is amazingly wonderful because of what Jesus has done on the cross. So your calling is secure. So I would step out in faith, be encouraged to move forward. And when those lies of, oh, you can't do it, or this is who you are, or you won't have the ability, just remember who God says you are, that you are loved by Jesus, that you are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So thanks for tuning in. And before we go, Crystal, I had one more thought.
I was just going to say, when you were talking about identity, knowing your identity in Christ, I think that's so important. You know, I think rejection and people pleasing can sometimes go hand in hand. And like you said, you can begin to focus on people or look at yourself, and you really lose sight of the cross, you lose sight of Jesus and who he is and who you are because of him. And there's so many amazing scriptures in the Bible that talk about how we're adopted in as his children when we become saved. And just embracing the fact that you do belong, even if you are rejected by different people groups, by friends, by family, by your spouse, by your children, whoever, knowing though that, hey, I am a part of something. I am a part of the body of Christ. I am a child of God. I am accepted. And I might not belong here on earth or in certain places, but I do belong in God's kingdom. And just knowing that there's a place for you at the foot of Jesus, you know, that's really all that matters. And at the end of the day, that just brings me so much joy and hope, because you don't know. People are going to accept you one day and reject you the next. But I know that God is always consistently loving me and has always been my consistent loving God. So I can rest in that and be secure in that.
Awesome. Yeah, great, great way to conclude our time together. Well, thanks for tuning in. I hope you're encouraged. Live your life for Jesus, not for anyone else. Because you only got one life and it goes by quick. So live it for what really and truly matters. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Once again, thank you for joining us at the Simple Truth Podcast. Hit subscribe and we'll see you again.